This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health Indifference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
We're at the Health Indifference Conference for 2013. Corey Earlham is with me, and he has just completed a stream on the services that are being developed for aged care sector here and GLBTI division of that. Now, Corey, I learnt something very new in there, and that was that aged care isn't all about being put into an old person's home.
No, that's right, Dean, and a lot of people assume that aged care means a residential aged care facility. But in fact, what aged care is a sector means is, yes, residential, but also home care, so getting a nurse to come in to help you, shower you, cleaning, modifications around the home, so you've got rails to get up and off the toilet, and then also home support, which is other areas of a lower level nature, not so clinical. So the idea of where the Living Longer, Living Better package by the Australian government's trying to go is to keep you in your home for as long as you're able and want to.
And that has lots of outcomes for government, of course. It means that ultimately they save money in institutionalised care. But those home services, and sometimes it's just calling on people and checking that they're okay and, you know, that somebody is looking after them. Those things are vital to someone's wellbeing, surely.
Absolutely. And so the community visitor scheme that the government has had in place for a number of years in residential facilities is now being expanded to include people who are on a home care package at home.
There was some debate in today's discussion about who qualifies for that, though.
Yep, and that's because the official community visitors scheme, or the CVS scheme, requires you to have that home care package. But there's also, under the HAC program, the Home and Community Care Program, social support services. And what this is about reducing social isolation. So if you've got somebody who's LGBTI, has no biological family, no nieces and nephews to come visit them, no children, that somebody can come out once a week, once a fortnight, have a cup of tea for an hour, and that person can feel connected with somebody who they feel is somebody they can relate to.
Today we heard from government, we heard from service providers, people working in the sector, and we heard from community who's been working very hard at this. Now the government has, particularly under Mark Butler, has been doing a lot of research within our community to develop these strategies. Where are we at in so far as the rollout of what next?
Okay, so the strategy has been launched last December. It's going to last for 5 years. It's going to have annual reports somewhere around August, September, October every year. So the department has already started implementing a range of the goals under the strategy, and that's stuff that they talked about today. And we would expect to see in that annual report, you know, maybe five different areas that are either completely delivered or substantially delivered in the current financial year.
Now, your role in this sector has been over many years, but recently there's been some changes. Whilst you were the chair of this particular conversation here at the Health Indifference Conference today, you're about to enter a new phase for your career in GLBTI aged care. Tell us about it.
Actually, I'm about to enter a new phase of my career for aged care in general. So I'm off to work for Council of the Ageing Australia as part of the National Aged Care Alliance Secretariat, and I'm really looking forward to being able to be involved as part of the broader aged care sector across what we can do for all types of older people, including my grandma and dad.
So this, I guess, means for me in 20 years, 30 years' time, things are going to be very, very different. But what about those that maybe in 5 years' time need to access aged care services? Will things have changed by then?
I don't want to wait 5 years. I think that we should be doing it now. And what the beauty of this strategy does is that for somebody who's confident and able to be able to identify themselves as LGBTI.
Now, this is a key factor because it kept coming up today. Tell us about that and why.
Okay. So people have lived a lifetime of discrimination who are entering aged care now. It was illegal for them to be a homosexual. They were put into jail. They were persecuted. There was a large range of social isolation and exclusion. People were high levels of homophobia, people perceived to have AIDS. This is the background of these people's lives. And in much the same way that we understand that somebody who went through a Holocaust may not want to be showered because it brings back memories of them having gone through concentration camps, we need to the aged care sector needs to understand the challenges and life experiences of LGBTI people, some of whom will want to identify themselves and some of whom who want to not identify.
It must be difficult at a time of frailty and need to be strong enough to say, I am gay.
It is, and you know, some of the anecdotal stuff is even for the most avid activist, as we get frailer, as we get older, they're less inclined to do it for fear of that discrimination. And so regardless of whether you're open to identifying or not, what we need the aged care sector to do is to make it inclusive and visibly inclusive for all people so that they know it's okay no matter whether they say they're gay or they're not.
Now, the reason for this is because there's a trigger that occurs at that point of contact. Tell us about that.
Right. So when somebody needs to access the aged care service, they will go from 1 July next year, they will call what's called the gateway, the entry point into aged care, and they'll be able to say, OK, I live in this area, I need these services, what can I do? And that government-funded hotline website, and hopefully at some point in the future, face-to-face location, will be able to navigate them to the most appropriate service provider in their area to deliver on their needs. And what we want to be able to see is that people feel confident in being able to identify themselves as LGBTI. And what we hope the government will do is if they do identify them as LGBTI, because they are now a special needs group, they'll get a face-to-face assessment and they'll be able to be linked in easily because there's a system, a flag in the system to be able to identify who's LGBTI inclusive in that area.
Does that mean it has to be from the person themselves, or will it be a question that is asked during that phone conversation? Will the person taking the call from the aged sector say, are you gay or lesbian, as a standard rollout of their questioning?
It's something that's being developed now. It's a really interesting question because on one hand, if you ask somebody who doesn't want to come out that they're gay, lesbian, they're going to go, oh my God, I don't want to answer this. And they're going to go back into that closet even further because they get scared away. But potentially, if they get asked, okay, there's 8 different special needs groups we need to identify if you fall into any of these, and the following 8 are blah, 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 LGBTI, then potentially we'll get a higher response rate. That's something the department needs to look at. They probably need to field test. They need to poll what's the best way to do it. And there's some of the conversations that are happening through a consultant today.
Well, there are exciting things ahead for GLBTI aged care sector. And the biggest, I guess, sticking point that I saw in today's conference is the service delivery by faith-based organisations and also those that work in the sector who might be from different religious backgrounds. Tell us how we're going to navigate through that.
Sure. So what's currently before the Parliament, and it's April now and hopefully it'll be done by June, is the suggestion, and government policy remains that they want to do this, they just haven't put it into law yet, that in terms of Commonwealth-funded aged care, if you're a faith-based provider, you will not be exempt from the anti-discrimination legislation. The Attorney-General on the 20th of March said this remains government policy. We're following up with the Minister of Ageing and the Attorney-General, and we would hope that the Senate inquiries into this area recommend that it become law by June.
Then we have a federal election. Chances are the government will change. What happens then, in your mind?
I was really impressed in the April edition of the Health Alliance that we received an article from the Shadow Minister of Ageing, Senator Connie Ferravanti-Wells. And Senator Wells talked about the need to respect everybody as an individual and that LGBTI people should be receiving the highest quality care. So regardless of whether there's a change of government or there's not, I would hope that there is bipartisan support for continuing the strategy and we will be working with that during the election to make that a public commitment.
Corey Earlham, thank you very much for delivering a great stream today here at the Health Indifference Conference, and thank you for joining us on Joy.
Thanks.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health Indifference 2013 Conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.